gardening on the Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Tierlawn Country Life. Gardens are our second nature, with 15 garden centres nationwide.
Well, now I'm joined by Jim McGavin, garden designer, horticulturist, Chelsea gold medal winner, broadcaster, and so much more. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Pat.
You are remote from us today, but you're going to take me even more remotely to Singapore, no less.
It's an amazing story. So when a whole nation decides to pivot and decides to take the theme of gardens as their unique selling point, and it happened a long time ago, but the fruits of that decision are really being felt today.
Now, before we talk about what Singapore is like, I've never been and I'd love to go because it is effectively a garden city state. Let's talk about the man who inspired all of this, Lee Kuan Yew.
So he was the founding Prime Minister of Singapore, and in 1967, just 2 years after the country achieved full independence from Britain, he made a speech that would change everything. He was quite kind of well got from a good family, had been educated in Cambridge, but he had vision, and isn't that the most important thing for any of our leaders? He understood his country had very limited natural resources, but he understood it had a great climate for growing plants, and he understood that it was, in a way, what Ireland has, a great travel hub. It was in the centre of everything. It's not big. It's half the size of London. It has a population of about 6-7 million, and he had to invent a reason for it to go forward. And he, very early on, he decided initially on trees. So when nobody was thinking this, 1967, he decided that we should all plant trees.
Now, he wasn't a gardener per se. That wasn't his academic background. But he did have a vision because he, and I've just passed through Dubai not so many weeks ago. I mean, that is a concrete jungle. He didn't want that for Singapore.
No, he realised they get rainfall. So unlike Dubai, they have a climate that would produce... water was an issue there, but every day, you know, there'd be torrents of rain. But flooding was an issue. Pollution was an issue. Factories, you know, belching out smoke and all sorts of harmful gases were an issue. So he decided it would, yeah, by greening, but not just planting parks, getting people on their streets to... He made a decree, gave a very important speech in 1967, and he wanted people to plant trees. He sent his officials out, but he also wanted evidence, Pat. So he made them take photographs. He wouldn't just take their word for it, take photographs. He would appear walking up and down suburban streets with saplings, and he'd plant them himself.
Now, he believed that the planting of trees and greening up the city generally would improve public morale. It would also cool the urban heat, you know, to try and mitigate the effects of building, because there is a lot of building, of course. It would offer people, those who have to live, for example, in extremely high-rise buildings, dignity, pride and beauty. What a vision.
It was incredible because it's things we're talking about now. About a month ago, we did a thing about rain gardens in China. Mm-hmm. But it was all this vision way before then. And if you're Prime Minister leading with that, and I think this kind of idea really should have echoes in our country, because he turned his whole state into a botanical gardens. It started with trees, and then he turned his attention to creating big attractions. So other countries might do a Disneyland or an expo or something like that. Gardens was his theme. And he understood that gardens and plants would clean the environment, would cool down areas, would provide shade, and would just make it a more beautiful place, and then would attract visitors from all around the world because they needed something to show as tourist attraction. Yeah,
so within 10 years, 60,000 trees had been planted. And,
yes,
you know, every building that went up, every block of flats, every little development, everything had to have a green space.
So the way our councils would say, if there's a bypass, you have to put a piece of art, greening things was important to him. So it became part of the national kind of conversation and everybody got involved.
Now, you've sent me some pictures which are completely astonishing from Singapore. Yes. And you'll put these up on your social
media.
Yeah, on your Instagram. Now, tell me about how it all developed from the planting of trees and the greening of roads and streets. Then the park development happened.
That's right, the showpieces. So in 2012, Gardens by the Bay opened on reclaimed land. And it was an awe and is an awe-inspiring project for science, spectacle and symbolism. It has a super tree grove. So these are massive kind of sculptural trees, towering solar-panelled vertical gardens. And they became the new icon. So when anybody talks about Singapore, you'll always see these images used. There's a cloud forest complete with mist, rare orchids and waterfalls. So he established a new garden on reclaimed land that had these iconic sculptures of trees, some up to 80 metres high. There's walkways in the sky. They collected rainwater. They had solar panels on them, filled with plants. At night, they twinkle to music. And then at their base are extraordinary greenhouses that replicate some areas of Singapore. They grow spices, but they also replicate cooler climates of in the Mediterranean. They have waterfalls that are crashing down 35 metres and a world of wonder of plants. It's really quite extraordinary.
And they have the biggest domes in the world.
They are the biggest greenhouses in the world. So they had a big international competition. A British firm won, and the result has won every architectural and conservation award that there is. But not only that, then he moved his attention to the airport, and here he created really something quite extraordinary. He felt an airport, because of their strategic kind of location, he thought an airport could not just be a place that you had to go to get, but it could be a destination in itself. And it is really amazing. Terminal 3 features a butterfly garden. Terminal 4 is lined with orchids and sunflowers. And the jewel in this hub is the boldest expression of all, a domed rainforest with a 40-metre indoor waterfall in the airport. So people shop and they dine, all surrounded by nature as they're waiting for their plane. And you don't feel like you're in an airport. So it relaxes people. It really is wonderful.
And right throughout the city, I mean, you can thread your way through the city through basically greenery, no matter where you want to go.
Greenery everywhere, vertical walls, and we've all seen the pictures of the hotels that have gardens suspended with swimming pools up on top. We saw them rock a little bit in the earthquakes a number of months ago in the water slosh around. But trees up in the sky. So everywhere you look is that. And what we have in Ireland, Pat, is really quite extraordinary because we've got a better climate. So they have to not heat the greenhouses. They have to have machinery to cool down the greenhouses. We have one of the best growing environments in the world with our temperate climate. Our whole island in the future could become a botanic gardens because we have a cooler climate that people like to visit when parts of the world are like Dubai, like Singapore, like Italy are getting too hot for people to visit. What if we were to become this amazing green botanic gardens, our whole island?
Where's the vision, ask I. But anyway, that's hopefully someone will hear you and maybe grab that particular baton and run with it. Dermot Gavin, garden designer, horticulturalist, gold medal winner at Chelsea, broadcaster and so much more. Dermot, thank you very much for joining us.